Hello, everyone, and welcome to our service from St Mary's in Ely for all the churches in the Ely team. My name is Chris, and I'm the Rector of St Mary's and the team. And I'm so pleased you are joining with our worship today as we try to play our part in sharing Jesus' love with every home in Ely and the surrounding villages. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you are welcome here. It has been a tough few months, and especially recently we have lost some of our church family, and our prayers go out to all their friends and family. We will miss each one of you. Regarding COVID, there does seem to be a little light at the end of the tunnel now, with the vaccine beginning to ramp up and the falling numbers of infections. And we hope that we may be back together to worship live in person in the spring. But meanwhile, we remain thankful for all those key workers, carers, medical staff, school staff, council workers, who are keeping us safe. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all those who are looking after us in our community. All those who are making sacrifices, sometimes putting their own health at risk. Please bless them, Father, strengthen them, and help us to know how best to support them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We come to the opening prayer for our service. Please say out loud the words in bold. Faithful One, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives. For the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join together with our first song, Big Family of God, which, as we begin the week of Christian unity, reminds us that Jesus calls us to be at one with our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the globe. And a reminder that we have a United service on Zoom at 6:30 this evening for all Christians across Ely, which you're welcome to join in with.
Some of us are big and tall. Some like blue, some of us like reading books, some of us like feeding ducks, that's because we're different, me and you. It's God loves everyone he's made. God loves each of us in a special that you and 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 you, God loves you, God loves you, that you and you and you and you and you and you and you, we're part of the big family of God. Some of us have curly hair, some of us have specs to wear, all of us have different families. Some of us are very loud, some of us don't make a sound, that's because we're different, you and me. But God loves everyone he's made. God loves each of us in a special way. But you and 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 you, God loves you, God loves you, loves you and 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 you. We're part of the big family. But you and you and you and you and you. We're part of the big family of God.
I'm reading from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first 17 verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful and has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power.
Our talk this morning comes from Chris Knowles, an occasional preacher here at St Mary's. It'll be Chris's last talk here as he and Julia are moving to the Northumbria Christian Community in Northumberland. Chris and Julia, we'll miss you. Thanks for all that you've contributed to the life of the church here.
This is the first of a new sermon series on Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And you can find an introduction to this series, produced by Jeremy James, on the church website, and accompanying notes produced by Paul Woodbridge. This morning I'm going to look at verses 11 to 17, and if you've got a Bible in front of you, you may see that there's a heading at that point. It's an editorial heading, it's not by Paul, in bold type, which reads, "A Church Divided Over Leaders." And I'm going to use that as a starting point, not because I think that it's helpful. In fact, the reverse, I think it's rather misleading. But I think it might help us to sharpen our focus on what this passage is really about. So first of all, the word church. When we think about church, we might think about structures, a physical structure, the church building, for instance, or an organisational structure, say the hierarchy of the Church of England. Or we might think about a community, led by a paid official, by a Chris Hill, for instance. But in the 20 or 30 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, when Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians, that simply wasn't the case. There were no designated church buildings. There was no established hierarchy. Communities were dispersed, and there were cells of Christians based on households, what we might now call home groups or house groups. So these were followers of Jesus who met together to worship. And I suppose the nearest thing we get in English is the word congregation, which is a gathering of people. So why, you may legitimately ask, do we read that Paul writes to the Church of God in Corinth at the top of this letter? Well, the answer is, of course, he didn't write that. It's a translation, and his original word in Greek was ekklesias, which gives us our word ecclesiastical. And originally it meant an assembly of people convened for political purposes. But in a New Testament context, it means a group of people convened or who come together to worship. So that's what Paul means in these circumstances. It's not church as we know it these days. And then there's the word leaders. Paul talks about three leaders alive in his lifetime. Himself, fairly obviously, then Cephas, and that's Peter the Apostle, and then somebody called Apollos. And we know a bit about Apollos because he crops up later in this same letter of Paul to the Corinthians, but also in Acts 18. And Luke tells us that he was a Jew from Alexandria. Alexandria, an important intellectual centre in the ancient world, and that he'd evidently converted to Christianity. But these three weren't leaders in our modern sense. They were more like itinerant preachers. And like all preachers, they had slightly different views on faith. So not church as we know it, not leaders as we know it. So what about divisions? Well, I suppose when we think about divisions, we think of something pretty major, like a schism, say the Church of England breaking away from the Church of Rome to facilitate the annulment of Henry VIII's first marriage. But that's not what we're dealing with here. What we've got is a rather special snapshot of faith finding its feet, of faith working out its own identity. Why, you may ask, did it have to do that? Well, because there were so many conflicting attractions, if you like. Within Judaism, there were rabbis, there were prophets, there were revolutionaries, and each had their own following. I think that when Jesus stood on the lakeside of Galilee and called to the fishermen and said, "Follow me," I think he was actually using a well-known formula. That's what revolutionaries, prophets, rabbis said to get their followers. And Jesus was, of course, all of those things and more. And then there's Corinth. Corinth was a port. It was a cosmopolitan place. So there were Greek gods, there were Roman gods, there were foreign gods. In fact, there was a whole smorgasbord of gods for the Corinthians to choose from. So it's no wonder that the poor old Corinthians were confused. So if it's not about church as we know it, not about leaders as we know them, not about divisions as we might suspect, what is it about? Well, Paul makes that clear. The Corinthians have mistaken the messenger for the message. And Paul's answer to that is also clear, and it's the fourth leader. It's Jesus Christ, who is the only leader who is both messenger and message rolled into one, inextricably and mysteriously one. Now, we as Christians know the centrality of Christ in our lives, or we should. But back then, Christianity as a movement and as a concept was in its infancy. In fact, the Greek word for Christian only occurs three times in the New Testament. If you see it more than that, it's a translation. It's not what the Greeks originally wrote. Back then, the Christians were known as followers of the way. And I have to say that for me, that's a much more dynamic, organic, adventurous, edgy, risky, unpredictable description of faith. And our faith should be and is all of those things than the word church. So what does the centrality of Christ mean in practice? Well, first of all, for the Corinthians. The Corinthians had gods on every street corner and gods for every occasion. This was pantheism, gods for everything. But of course, Paul preaches the God of gods, the Lord of lords, only one God, God in everything. And here's the crucial difference, God in everything and everything in God. God in everything, everything in God. So not pantheism, but panentheism. In him we live and move and have our being. That's what Paul said to the Athenian philosophers on top of the Areopagus. So if that's what the Corinthians needed to hear, what do we need to hear? What's the message for us? Well, how do we make space for the mind of Christ to grow in us? That's what Paul suggests should be happening later on in this letter in chapter 2, verse 16. Now, there are many directions I could go in at this point, but I'm going to go in one particularly personal one. I believe that we have to go within ourselves. We have to do what is called heart work. We have to sit regularly as a discipline in silence with God. Go to your cell and your cell will tell you everything, said the Desert Fathers. Everything about God, everything about yourself, everything about your relationship with God, everything about your relationship with other people, all mysteriously intertwined. Because the cell of our hearts is the ultimate place of divine intimacy. It's what T.S. Eliot so memorably called the still point of the turning world. That still point is our stronghold and our refuge when everything else is falling about our ears. Principalities and powers, as Paul said, civilizations, governments, societies, even churches and leaders. That still center, which is Christ, which is the image of God within us, can never be destroyed. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's what Paul wrote to the Galatians. I'm going to leave you with three final thoughts, and they are final thoughts because this will be my last sermon here in Ely. First, at the heart of our faith is mystery. The mystery of the invisible God made visible, modelled, if you like, by Jesus Christ. God doesn't come in neat, packaged answers. As Paul says later, we only ever see through a glass darkly. We only ever know in part. We never see face to face, at least not in this life. It's that still point which enables us to hold together all the many unanswered questions, so that they feed off each other. There's a dialogue going on between them. And I believe that it's only in that way that our faith is really nourished and really grows. As Paul might have said, my brothers and sisters, we ignore mysticism at our peril. My second point. The job of mission is, of course, to bring Christ to others. But as important, and I'm beginning to think even more important, is to reveal Christ in others. That way, mission is not imposition, but revelation. Revelation through exploration and by example. I want some of what they've got should be the response of others to seeing us go about our daily lives in a significantly different manner. And finally, it is precisely that still point which makes the world turn. But contemplation must give momentum to action. If action doesn't radiate from that still point, like spokes in a wheel, then the wheel doesn't turn and life goes nowhere. God is love, and it's love that makes the world go round.
Thanks, Chris. You will have noticed that being Christ-centred has become a theme of our services so far this year. Christ-centred and Jesus-shaped. If you would like to prepare for that heart work which Chris was discussing, that can best be done alone and can be best be done in quiet, can I encourage you to use this song as a prayer of commitment? Jesus, be the centre. We turn now to a time of confession where we acknowledge we haven't given God that time and attention, that heart work that Chris spoke about. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by the temptations in the world. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. And so may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now an opportunity to declare our faith in God. Together we pray. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I'm going to hand over to Rachel Brown, who is going to lead us in our prayers today.
Let us pray. Almighty God, today finds us in the midst of this week of prayer for Christian unity. Help us to listen to your voice still calling us to unity in our diversity. We pray for church leaders everywhere that they may work together and promote unity among Christians. Lord, you made us to be one body and of one spirit, and so we pray that we might establish friendly relationships among Jews, Christians and Muslims and tear down the walls of indifference and hatred, making our unity visible and bringing healing to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for all who work for justice and solidarity and for all world leaders, that they will continue to seek for an end to the suffering caused by war and violence, injustice and inequality, disease and prejudice, poverty and hopelessness, and bring healing to the world. Bless and guide Elizabeth, our Queen, and our government for the burden of responsibility for the health and well-being of our nation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we raise before you this morning those who are sick, sad or lonely, and those who are brave and patient when things are going wrong. We pray that they may be aware of your comforting presence and know that in your hands they are safe and loved. We especially pray for the people on the front line, for their perseverance and tenacity in helping us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our church here in Ely, that it may be a beacon of Christ's light and hope in the darkness and this period of uncertainty. We pray for Bishop Stephen, Chris and all the pastoral team for their continued reassuring presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, as we prepare for the weeks ahead, help us to remember that we are sisters and brothers in Christ. Help us overcome our conflicts, our divisions and our self-seeking and to be united to one another by the power of the Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's gather all of our prayers today together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please join in. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And finally, we pray our giving prayer, offering the money we give to all the team churches for their work in the community and amongst our mission partners. Together we pray. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we offer our gifts to you with joy, symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. And if you've not yet discovered the joy of giving to the work and mission of your local church, please do give us a call at the office and we'll let you know how it works and how you contribute in this way. While we're on that subject, I'd like to mention Isaac Kim, who recently memorised and recited the value of pi to 250 digits and raised over £500 for toilet twinning. Amazing! Well done, Isaac. If you want to watch him recite it, or you might like to sponsor him, you'll find the details on our website and on the bulletin, and also you can call the office.
Today we're announcing a change of leadership for our worship teams. Katie Coutts, who's played a vital part in coordinating and developing our worship leaders and worship bands, is stepping down from that role. And I really want to thank Katie for everything she's done to ensure that our worship is vibrant and uplifting. As a church, we are very grateful for all your hard work and expertise. Moving forward, we've asked Andy Sykes to take on the role of worship pastor. And as you can see, Andy is with me now. And it's fair to say, if you'll excuse the pun, that you've been instrumental in creating the online worship songs, along with Ryan and Victoria and Bridget and others. How's that been?
Well, personally, you know, I'm a bit of a techie and enjoy kind of exploring all the kind of equipment and software for doing that. And I've been amazed, actually, what you can achieve with a quite a modest setup. And certainly the team have done a fantastic job, Victoria, Bridget and Ryan, in fitting that work into their busy schedules. So, we've grown as we've done it. We've learned lots of things. And I think particularly the work that Bridget did with the virtual carol service took us into yet another level. Who knows where that's going to lead us.
That's great. Well, thank you all of you for doing it. It's been fantastic. We've loved it. Andy, we'll be calling you worship pastor, which kind of recognises the fact that this is more than just making sure music happens in our services. How do you see the role?
So the first thing is obviously encouraging our existing musicians and caring for their well-being, but also to encourage others to, if you like, find a way of using their gifts in our worship at St Mary's. And for people that have got a musical background and training but are not quite sure how to bring that into the worship environment, to work with them as well and find how they can express their worship through the music and the instruments that they've learned to use. And let's work together and grow those skills.
Great.
I think the final thing, and this is where I think it's more of a challenge to everyone, and that is about developing ourselves as a worshiping community. Worship being more than something that happens in services in our building in St Mary's, but actually something that runs through our everyday lives, you know, from when we wake up to when we go to sleep.
That's wonderful. Well, can I pray for you, Andy, if I may?
Yes,
Heavenly
please.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Andy, for taking on this role. And I pray that you would inspire him with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the work that Katie has done over the last few years, Father. We thank you so much. And we pray that we'll continue to benefit from her playing the piano and joining in with the worship groups as well. And now we'll bring our service together with our final song, which is Heart of Worship, which seems appropriate at the moment.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things have been.
Thank you once again for joining us this morning. A big thank you to everybody who's participated today, our musicians, our readers, our prayers, and thanks to Chris for our message. Over these 4 weeks, our home groups will be reflecting together on the Corinthians sermons, so please do join in with that. Contact the office for details. Let's continue to look out for our neighbours and pick up the phone to make sure nobody is struggling or alone. And now a final blessing. May the Lord bless us and protect us. May the Lord smile on us and be gracious to us. May the Lord show us his favour and give us his peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen. Goodbye, everyone.